be with you.
And also with you.
Good morning and welcome. Welcome to all those who are joining us here in person, and a special welcome to all those who are joining us online. It is good to be here, and together we will experience God in word and in sacrament and in the presence of each other. Today, let us begin with the words printed in your bulletin. Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn us that he may heal us. He has struck us down and he will build us up.
After 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will rise us up that we may live before him.
Let us know, let us press on to know the Lord.
His appearance is as sure as the dawn.
I invite all who can stand to stand now, knowing that if you cannot stand, the church stands with and for you. Love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves.
We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You may be seated. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Let us pray. Creator God, you prepare a new way in the wilderness, and your grace waters our desert. Open our minds to be transformed by the new things you are doing, that our lives may proclaim the extravagance of your love, given to all through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We now invite our children to come forward for a children's sermon. Barring any children in the audience today, welcome all my children. How is everyone today?
Good.
Well, we have an interesting story today about Jesus and Mary, and Mary anoints Jesus with some oil. So I wanted to talk today a little about oil. We all know we talk about the sacraments of the church, and we typically think of water and then bread and wine. And today I just want to mention we also have some oils too. And not just any oil, even though any oil is fine, just like any water. This particular oil comes from when all the pastors come together once a year and we have something called a chrism mass. And we all pray over the oil and then it gets all distributed out so that from the one pot of oil, all the churches have oil. And so we are one in that sense. But why do you think we use oil sometimes during church? Is there any idea?
The candle.
The candle, right? Candles. But why do we anoint people with oil? That's a good question. Well, why do you think we throw water on people sometimes? Why do we drink bread and wine sometimes? It's because sometimes, or all the time, God and the physical are united, right? It's all about the union of heaven and earth. And so when water hits you, you know something just hits you because you can feel the water. And you know God is with you because you just ate some bread and you drank some wine. And sometimes when we're feeling sick or we're in a bad position, you'll want prayers, or you might ask prayers. And so the pastor or the deaconess of this church will come and anoint you with oil. And the funny thing about this oil, too, is it's really smelly. It has a lot of, like, fragrance to it. And so when you, sorry about that, the mic. So when you get it on yourself, you smell like this oil all day. And so you're not feeling good, but you smell the oil, so you always are remembering that God is with you, that the Spirit is with you. And that's why we use oil, that's why we use water, that's why we use bread and wine. So you'll always know that God is with you. So let us pray. What we do it with our children is on the count of three, we bring our hands together and hold them in prayer. We'll be allowed to clap for all of our users. So on the count of three, one, two, three. And repeat after me. Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you for loving us.
Thank you that you're always with us.
Thank you that you're always with us.
Amen.
Amen.
Our first reading this morning is written in Isaiah chapter 43, starting with the 16th verse. Now hear the word. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings out the chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise, they are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old. I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild animals will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches. For I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I form for myself, so that they might declare my praise. Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
And our song this morning is on page 5 of your bulletin. It is Psalm 126. We'll read it responsibly. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, then were we like those who dream.
Then was our mouth filled with laughter, and our tongue with shouts of joy. Then they said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them.
The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad indeed.
Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like the water courses of Gilead.
Those who sowed with tears will reap with songs of joy.
Those who go out weeping, carrying the seed, will come in with joy, shouldering their sheaves.
And our second reading this morning is in the third chapter of Philippians. Now hear the word. Paul writes, "If anyone else has reason to be confident in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, a member of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew born of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. Yet, whatever gains I had, these I have come to regard as loss because of Christ. More than that, I regard everything as loss because of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and I regard them as rubbish, in order that I might gain, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but one that comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God based on faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death. If somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead, not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own, because Christ Jesus has made me his own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus." Holy wisdom, holy word.
Thanks be to God.
According to John, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those who was at the table. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointed Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was the perfume not sold for 300 denarii, and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you. You do not always have me." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, I think I shared this before with some of you, but I used to coach rugby. And I did it because my son wanted to play rugby and I wanted to give him the opportunity to play. And then the game came for his first game. And you all know that was those jitters before your first game. And he came to me that night and said, "I'm really scared." And I said, "Of what?" He said, "I'm scared of getting in trouble and getting one of those cards." Same rules as soccer. Get the yellow card or the red card for dangerous play, right? Yellow card, you're out for part of the game. The red card, you're out for the whole game. And there is my son, the son of a correction officer. His greatest fear was breaking the rules. But he was my son, too, so by far the smallest guy on the field that day. And I knew this was kind of a dangerous fear to have, because if you go up to tackle the guy that's twice your size and you do it timidly because you're afraid of doing that, getting in trouble, chances are the danger of getting injured just increases a lot, right? You go and tackle the big guy, you tackle them with everything you've got. There could be no timidity in there. How to overcome the fear, though? I don't know. The only thing I could think of at the time was bribe. So I said, okay, Jacob, for every yellow card you get this year, I will give you $50. For every red card, I will give you $100. Now, the kid did not want to get a card, mind you. And I only had to pay one time. It was his last game 4 years ago. But he needed to overcome that fear. You see, we have an expression in our culture called go big or go home. It means it's sometimes you got to leave it all on the field. Sometimes when you're in that moment of your life, the one and only time you're going to be at that very five-star restaurant, you go ahead and you splurge and order everything. There's moments in life where discretion is the better part of valor. But there's also moments in life when it's time to go big or go home. And that, I think, is what's going on in our text today. Mary has a decision. She can go big or she can go home. And if we were to take our text really seriously, we think of what Jesus is really saying about what Mary is doing. It's profound. And I think we don't often see this as we're very familiar with the story. We're familiar with the actions. But Mary is not coming to Jesus simply as an act of love and devotion. It is all that. But Mary has come to anoint the body. Think on that for a moment. That means Mary understands what's about to happen to Jesus. She, in fact, is the only one who understands what's about to happen. The disciples are still arguing about who will be the greatest and about seats, and Peter is figuring what, where and where he is going to be and all the glory to come. But Mary, and only Mary, has the realization that he is about to die. She doesn't know exactly when, but this might be the last moment I have with him. This is the last time I know I will have with him. So what's that other expression we have? Sometimes you need to say what needs to be said while you can still have time to say it. So perhaps she thinks this is the Last Supper. Perhaps she does not know what happens next and whether he'll be killed in secret and buried in secret. So this is the only chance. And so she prepares his body for burial, an act of costly love. This is about a year's worth of income for this jar of perfume. And friends, sometimes, and we all know this as well, sometimes the cost of something far exceeds the value of something, especially an act of love. I'm sure we've all been there where the price tag did not equal the value of what we were doing. And so she comes with this expensive gift and pours it out. She has decided she is going to go big and go home. And so what? that she gets the night wrong. Jesus still has a week to go. Jesus is definitely going to spend that week smelling really good. But so what? We might think she got it all wrong. She's completely off. But what does Jesus say about this? Not just in this gospel, but in another gospel, in the other gospels, Jesus says, "Truly I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will be told in memory of her." An act of love told the world over. And so maybe we should ask ourselves, when was the last time we had an act of love to someone else that they told the whole world about? And maybe if not, maybe why do we not have acts of love for others to scream about, tell others about? We're afraid. We're afraid of putting ourselves out there. We're afraid of doing the wrong thing. Fear holds us back. And when fear holds us back, then the excuses come, right? And we see an excuse here, too, from Judas. Why was this not given? Why was this perfume not sold and then given to the poor? Except we know, the text tells us, that's not the real reason. But friends, when was the last time an excuse we gave was the real reason we didn't do something as well? That's the funny thing about excuses. Typically, the excuse has nothing to do with the real reason. And again, not to bore you with rugby analogies, but my philosophy as a coach was everyone got to play regardless of their ability to pay. So I would fund it all, get funding for them all. All they had to do was show up. And yet, despite that, the number one reason I got as an excuse why people didn't want to play was, I don't have the money. So when I was told that, I knew the money wasn't the issue. This is they didn't want to. Number second excuse was, I don't have the time. But again, when you love something and you want to do something, you somehow mysteriously always find the time to do that thing. The two most popular excuses had nothing to do with the real reason why they didn't want to play. And that is our human condition, isn't it? Always making excuses. And maybe it's because of fear. Maybe it's because of our fear of scarcity. I think that is what's on display here. Judas is afraid of scarcity. If this is poured out, then I will not have enough. And so in a sense, we have two contrasting responses here. Mary versus Judas. It is love versus fear. It is scarcity or abundance. But Mary comes with an expensive gift to offer Jesus. Because Jesus himself is the expensive gift of God. One gift worthy for another gift and onward. And that, my friends, may be something I want to bring us all together now. These two thoughts going on. What did I say? Mary understands where the story is coming. She understood when Jesus said, "I will be betrayed, handed over, and crucified," that he actually meant, "I'm going to be betrayed, handed over, and crucified." So she comes. But every time Jesus said those three things, he also ended it with a fourth. "And on the third day, I will rise again." Mary is the only one in our story, who understands that resurrection is coming. And so this gift of love that she pours out at Jesus' feet is the response of love. It's a response of, I get that the darkness and the long night is coming. But it's also an act of faith that despite the night, resurrection morning will come. And so, she goes big or she goes home. I think somehow this is what Paul is saying as well, the reading we had in Paul, where he says, forgetting what lies behind, but straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize and the heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Friends, the question that could be for us today is, are we looking back, or are we pressing on ahead? Do we realize that the victory of Christ has already been won, it's already been offered, it's already here? What are we holding back in our own lives? Do we in our lives say, maybe I should go small and still go home? Or are we brave enough to step out in faith into the world to understand that our lives are a gift of God, and that gratitude should be our response? Gratitude. And then saying, yes, for such a gift of my own life, for the gift that God is with me, for the gift of what Christ has done, I will live in this radical trust in love. And I will, in my own life, go vain, but then go to the empty tomb. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Led by the Spirit, let us turn to God in prayer for the church, the world, and all those in need. The church declares your praise, O God. Guide us in the example of Isaiah's imagination, Paul's transformed identity, and Mary's faith and devotion, that our lives too may be poured out in love as we trust in your promises. God, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
The earth declares your praise, O God. Make a way for the planet's future in the sea and the wilderness, the mountains and plains, the tundra and wetlands. Repair habitats and sustain ecosystems on, above, and beneath the ground. God, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
The nations declare your praise, O God. Where religious differences divide, bring together those who worship you in the name of Jesus Christ and those who call to you with different names. Guide interreligious dialogue that faith may unite rather than divide communities. God, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
The people declare your praise, O God. Restore those whose hope has been dampened through a health diagnosis, job or home loss, divorce or death. Bring healing to those in need, especially Joe, Fran, Carol, Misty, Melissa, Annette, George, Vince, Dietmar, Michael, David, Marty, Victor, Corinne, Dan, Gary, Julie, Paul, Emma, David, Rhonda, those who've been affected by the California wildfires, victims of wars around the world, and those of victims of national world disasters, and especially for those whom we name now, aloud, or in our hearts. God, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
The gifts of the Spirit declare your praise, O God. We thank you for artists who proclaim the gospel, inspire music, poetry, and images that proclaim the new thing you are doing. God, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
The communion of saints declares your praise, O God. Giving thanks for those who have died, we trust in the one who has made them his own, Christ Jesus, our crucified and risen Savior. God, in your mercy,
receive our prayer.
Receive the prayers of your people and draw all things together in your love. In the name of Jesus, who leads us from death to life.
Amen. Amen.
Now we invite you into the mystery of silent prayer. In this quiet, we open our hearts to the presence of God, who is not only heard in words, but also in stillness. May this be a time to rest in God's love, lift up what is unspoken, and listen for the voice of the one who speaks in silence. Be still and know that I am God. Amen. May the peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with you. I
invite you now to share the peace of Christ with all those around you. And I invite us now to stand again for our offering hymn. Set your immense treasure among us, opening your heart to the world. As we prepare to feast on your bountiful love, deepen our commitment to sharing those treasures with others. Through our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember the Lord's Passover from death to life. And we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us, on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth, burning with justice, peace, and love.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us.
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from time of trial. Deliver us from evil. For the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated. Friends, this is the table of God for all the people. The table is set, and all are invited forward. In a moment, the ushers will come, and we ask you to fill in our communion rail from right to left. You may receive communion either standing or kneeling. Only extend out your hand, and then the bread will be given to you. And then reach in, and the cup will be, either take the red cup, which is wine, or the clear cup with his creatures. But friends, this is the table of God for all, and all are welcome to come forward. And all means all, which means all, which means all. All are invited down to come and feast on the presence of God in our midst. Amen.
Thank you.
May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior keep us in grace.
Amen.
Let us pray. Generous host, you have shared your feast with us and made us new. Send us now to set tables of love and grace in your community, that your liberating love might nourish the world into freedom. In the name of the crucified one, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
And friends, we pause just a moment for some announcements, and there's like a ton of them going on, so I'm trying to make this quick. But in our words of the week, we'll have all the events coming up on this coming weekend. We've got a lot going on. Wednesday, a full slate of activities, starting at 12, with our contemplative prayer. We'll have the women at the ELCA meeting at 1:30. And then 6 o'clock soup, 7 o'clock golden evening prayer. It'll be the last midweek service in Lent, so if you've been waiting and wanted to attend, this is it. So if you'd like to, please join any and all of that. Also, we have sign up for our readers for Holy Week, and we're still looking for a few people able to read, especially around the Easter Vigil. And we have the Easter brunch sign up, so make sure you sign up on that so we know where to distribute the giving. And also, in your bulletin, there's a short little survey. And it's there to help us with that work on our endowment and our planned giving policies and procedures to make sure that our giving is in line with our values. So it's a very short survey. It just asks what your joys in the ministry of the church are, and then what your hopes for the ministry of the church are. And we ask you, if you would, to fill out a few words or thoughts in there. For our visitors here, it is always a great reflection for you to be here. Something drew you here, so maybe you already have a hope, maybe you already have a joy. All are welcome and invited to fill something out. That will give us a lens in which to think about the future. And then finally, I'm sure I'm missing things, but the final thing I'm going to mention is that Monday at 6 o'clock downstairs, we are hosting a Know Your Rights immigration talk. So if you would like to be a part of that discussion and come and hear from some lawyers about immigration, 6 and 8, tomorrow, downstairs, all are welcome. With all that being said, let us prepare our hearts for the blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. And the Lord look on you with favor and give you peace.
Jesus, all is well.
in peace serve the Lord.